Hey everybody, welcome to the Gold Members Podcast for today. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about some seriously advanced cycle of destruction. A lot of this is in the 15 Principles book, but this is one that is just better to talk about rather than try to write about it, because there's just so much detail involved here, which is why you guys are in the program. Right, so I can hit you guys with multiple methods of learning these things. Hey, everybody knows the basics of the cycle of destruction by now. And there's, as I've said before, there's much, much more to it. But I need to preface this with a little bit of a story. Back in 2001, my oldest son, Kurt, had taken his grandmother to the mall because she wanted to go to the bookstore. And he is a reading junkie. He's read hundreds and hundreds of books. And so he was off in the section of which he was interested in. She was in the one that she was interested in. Now, this time she was well into her 80s, and she walked with a cane at that point in time. And it was your typical junkie Shoppers Drug Mart special, right? Aluminum tubing type thing. Basically a piece of crap. Some punk tried to kick the cane out from underneath her while she was walking. Well, when Kurt met up with her and found out about it, he flipped. And rightfully so. I flipped also when I found out about it later on, but I wasn't there. Now, I will also add to that at this point is, you know, whoever this person was, every night they should be on their knees thanking whatever God they believe in that he wasn't there, because he would have put them in a body bag and he'd be in prison now. Right? Because nobody does that, especially not to his grandmother. And I would have done the same thing. I have no sense of humor for punks, but another story. Right? Anyways, I was the international president at that time of the World Budo Alliance. And one of the members was Grandmaster Mark Shuey, the cane master. So Kurt hooked up with Grandmaster Mark and learned everything in his system very quickly, too. He's a very fast learner and started implementing it. At that particular point in time, we also started teaching the MS Society and the seniors how to defend themselves with canes properly, too. But anyways, as I got involved with Q-Show and I started to make my own discoveries, I'm going to make a comment about carrying a cane, a wooden cane, not a piece of crap aluminum, right? A wooden cane, a real cane. If you're looking at the idea of getting a cane, I really strongly suggest you get a hold of Cane Masters and get one from them, because the quality is phenomenal on them. But you're holding a cane in your hand. Can you use it as a wood element in a strike? Actually, you can do even more with it than that. I addressed in a blog post I did recently about using things like that. I hate my phone. Using things like that to supplement other forms of other elements, right? Now, I'm going to give you an example. A guy's got you in a double lapel grab. And you are holding a wooden cane. He pushes you up against a wall, as an example. Right? Tough guy. Now, if you take that particular cane and you bring it down across the upper parts of his forearms, which is metal, as you will know, you can use that wood against his metal. Right? You don't have to come up and hit stomach five or something and use it against Earth. You can use it against his metal. Now, I will explain the reason why now. Cycle of destruction is just simply a cycle. Pain is available anywhere within that cycle, right? And it will backwards mask itself. So because he has got a grip on me, a double lapel grab as an example, he has his fists in metal, water, stomach, earth, wood possibility, depending on whereabouts he is exactly floating around on my chest with it, because he won't be centerline. Right? He will be on the outside, so he's definitely going to have metal and water. Right? And that's what matters. It matters how many of the elements that are there, because it is your mind that is directing the elements. It is not just the elements themselves. Otherwise, you'd be hurting yourself constantly when you hit yourself on things. Right? There is an effect, and the effect has to do with intention. Cycle of destruction in a fight is totally useless without intent to use it. Right? Now, that intent can be programmed subconsciously, I think, in the cycle of destruction. But I no longer have to think it consciously. It's just there. So now, as this person grabs me, pushes me against the wall, let's suppose that he has kidney, mostly with his fists are touching kidney. We have a complete connection with our bodies because we're in contact. Right? There's a lot of chi exchange going on at this point in time, especially with his aggression coming at me. Right? So as I bring the cane up and around and I rest it on top of his arms, as I grind that in to the radial bone, right, along the lung meridian, and also interfering with large intestine as well, both of the metal meridians, the pain is going to be excruciating because it's wood, right? And then if I happen to be able to keep my feet straight against a wall and bend my knees, now I'm using an earth stance, which is going to enhance it even more. We've done this quite a few different times. Now, I'm in favor of a nasty cane with shark's teeth on it, so when I do that, it also rips the skin. But that's just the way I am. Right? When it comes to self-defense, I'm really very much a take-no-prisoners guy. I feel no compassion whatsoever for the attacker. And if I can do some damage on the way out and still appear innocent doing it, you're darn right I'm going to do it. That's one of the things I love about Kyusho, right? A lot of the times, the injuries don't show up as bruises, right? And that's an important thing. You don't go shooting your mouth off going, well, I hit a pressure point, and that's why this guy's in the state he's in. You never say something like that. It's like identifying yourself as a martial artist. Why would you want to do that? Right? Oh, I'm sorry. He threatened to kill me. What can I say? Right? But anyways, so you can see with this how you can use an object made of a real element against them. You can do it with metal also. Obviously, metal on metal. You can do it with metal on metal. You can do it with metal on wood. You can do it with metal on fire if you've got the connections properly taken care of. Okay? Metal will hurt fire. Wood will also hurt fire. But it hurts fire in a slightly different way, right? As long as you aren't missing one of the elements when you're doing it, right? You need to get, you can't, if as an example, you were trying to use wood against fire, if you don't have metal there, you don't have the cycle, right? You need to have all the elements of the cycle. So you need to introduce metal in some way, shape, or form. You can do that with your own metal too, right? You can introduce your own elements in there, especially when there is contact between the two of you. It's more difficult if there's no physical contact between the two of you. Right? If you have this guy, as an example, with this idea of grinding on the arm with the cane, if you have him hold onto the back of a chair and you don't touch him and you grind him with that cane, he's not going to feel it to the extent he will if he's touching you and you put everything together. Hopefully I've been able to make that reasonably clear. Give it a try. If you don't have a cane, get a piece of dowel. Like pretty much everybody's got staffs in their dojo and things like that. Use those and you will see a remarkable result with it. Anyway, that's it for today's podcast. You guys have a great day and we will see you next time. Ciao.